And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we have a very sobering topic today. Very sobering. Very much something to think about. Something for you to, well, contemplate. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't really give out any tests to my listening audience. They test me a lot, I'll tell you. I have a lot of really thorny questions asked me on the internet, email, and by letter and so forth. And, you know, I don't mind. A lot of people say, I don't want to make Tex Mars mad. One guy wrote to me, you know, I actually got a lot of letters like this and said, you know, I have a criticism to make of you, and I'm sure you'll just take me off your mailing list after you read my letter and get mad at me. Well, so he asked me his question. I didn't make me mad at all. It was a very legitimate question. I welcome questions, queries, people who ask me things. And I've never, ever taken somebody off. You know, I've never gone in and said, hey, guys, in my office, my secretaries and whatever, I've never said, here, this guy made me mad with his letter. Take his name off our list. I promise you, I've never done that, ever. We've been there 27 years. I've never done that. And boy, some probably would say, well, why not? This guy, he is so mad. He's so opposed to what you're doing. But I've always thought about it this way. You know, a person can write to me and call me the worst names in the world and say I'm an idiot and I'm a devil and I'm going to hell for what I'm doing and all these things. And I'm thinking, well, you're listening to me on the radio. How do you know I say these things? You know, somebody says, I got your book such and such, and I just think you're the most meanest person in the world to write this book. Well, you got my book. You read it. Thank you. I appreciate you ordering my book and reading it. I had one guy that said, I bought three copies and gave to friends, and we all think you're a jerk. All three. They bought the book. They're reading it. You know, sometimes it takes a long time for things just to sort of cook. You ever thought about that? You have all the greatest ingredients for a cake and a wonderful recipe, and no matter what you do to it, once, you know, you put it in the pan in the oven, it's still going to take a little while to bake. You know? So, I also get letters and phone calls, and somebody says, you know, 2 years ago when I started getting your newsletter, I thought you were the devil himself. But, you know, now I understand what you're saying. One guy said to me, I wanted to prove you wrong. So I went to the library and went on the internet and I studied this for 6 months. And now I'm a big believer. I'm one of your big fans, Tex. Well, okay, great. Whatever a person says to me, I appreciate. Whatever they, you know, I once read that the pastor, I forget the guy's name, he was pastor at First Baptist Church. He was there about 30 years as pastor, quite a famous guy. But somebody asked him, did you read that letter that I sent criticizing you? And the pastor said, no, I don't read letters that criticize me. My secretary opens up all my mail, and anybody who says something negative about me or criticizes me, she just throws it in the trash can. Criswell, that was his name. Pastor W.A. Criswell, I think it was. He had his secretary read all the mail to weed out, to cull out the bad stuff. Friends, listen, you don't learn that way. You don't discover that way. Some of the best things I've discovered are negative things people write to me. And some don't agree with me, and I say, well, they're probably wrong. But, you know, I go check them out, and I find out they're right. They've helped me. You know, every time we publish a book, we used to. I don't know if we do anymore. I would always send it to my good friend, Dr. Kathy Burns, up in Pennsylvania. Very educated, scholarly woman. You know, she's written many books we offer here in the ministry. She's a great Christian lady. I sent her my book and said, I didn't have time to send it to her before I published it. You know, I was trying to get it out to the folks. I thought the information was so important. And afterwards, I send a copy to her and say, Kathy, would you do me a favor and look at this book and read it as you always do? And if you find any errors in it, would you let me know? And she sent me back a long list. And I'm going to cry. Well, hold it. You've got about 52 things, and most of them are small. You know, you forgot a period here. It needs a comma here. Nothing really major. A misspelled word on page 389. You know, stuff. But it still makes me feel bad. I wish I had time to send her my manuscript before it went to the press. She's good, and she helps me, you see. I don't just take her letter and, all these errors you found, get mad. Okay, you may get mad at me today from hearing what I'm about to tell you, but I'll still love you. I don't really have any enemies. Now, people have told me they're going to come and get me, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to do the most. Some of them are quite graphic. Remember those homosexuals? A whole network of them called us for weeks, and they had such vile, ugly language they would use. We would just say, yes, well, we love you. Goodbye. We're sorry you feel that way. And, you know, that's what we would tell them and leave. Probably made them madder. They thought we were going to get mad back. You know, that's the way Satan does. He wants to stir you to anger, to vengeance. I don't want vengeance. I just want truth. Truth is greater than vengeance. Jesus never went around saying, I'm going to make a list of all my enemies. I'm going to put it to them. But don't think God doesn't know if you're his enemy. And you make your own bed then, my friends. You know, if you end up in hell, well, it's nothing God did. You deserved it, believe me. Okay, I want to talk today about the road less traveled. The road less traveled. Let's just get right down to business. This has to do with seceding from the United States. Should we leave? Should we get out of here? Is it become too much of a wicked cesspool that really Christians and even good patriots should not be here? Now listen, no one is more patriotic than me. But my love is of the America of greatness. My love is not for today's America. I'm sorry, friends. It's just not. My love is really, I call it the old America. The America with a heritage. The America of Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, of great men, Christian men and women, who gave us a constitution better than anybody else had in the world. Still better. Except nobody pays attention to it. Wasn't it George W. Bush that said, you know, the Constitution, you know, what's that? Just an old document. It's no better than used toilet paper. He actually was reported of saying that, and he acted like it. Why, now they don't even wait for bills to be passed. They just sign executive orders and go. The presidents, I mean. You see, I believe at very critical junctures in American life, we Americans have come to forks in the road. Each time a fork presented itself, we could go to the left or to the right, and I'm not talking about left-wing and right-wing politics. It reminds me, you know, of the, and we had to choose which way we were going to go. Reminds me of poet laureate Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken. He says, and I'll read it to you later, maybe in the second half of the program, if I can grab it on the internet here. He says, Robert Frost said, you know, I came to a fork in the road. I could take one way or another. I saw that one side seemed like it was very traveled. A lot of people had gone down that road, down that path. The other one, not so many. It wasn't traveled at all. It was overlaid with thickets and, you know, trees had grown up. You could see that most people had gone this way. This was the broad way. But this other way, not many people had been taking it. In any case, Mr. Frost said, I took the road that wasn't much taken. The road less traveled. That's the road I took. And it made all the difference in the world. Now, friends, in your personal life, sometimes you just have to, you come to a juncture, a critical point. There's a fork in the road. You have to go one way or another. You can go the way that everybody else is going. It's a broad freeway. It's busy. It's full of gadgetry and buzzy, frenetic movement. And you can tell, it seems like everybody's going down that road. It's the most popular. Or there's another road, might not even be paved, the other road. Not many people seem to want to go down that way. You take a little time and you evaluate each road, and then finally you have to choose which road you're going to go to because there's a fork in the road and you can't stay where you're at. You're backing up traffic. Get going one way or the other. You got to choose. I think the day you chose Jesus, if you did, although I agree a lot with people who say he chose you. I think that's true. You think you choose him, but he chooses you. In any case, that day that you accepted Christ or Christ came into your heart, that was a real day of choice. And it was definitely the road less traveled. Not many people travel down that road. Even Jesus said it's not a fancy road. It's not paved beautifully. Certainly not a golden brick road. The road where you walk with Jesus has a lot of pain and suffering and travail on it sometimes. But you reach a very pleasant end, I might say. And when you get there, you look back and say, you know, it was a blessing all the way. It really was a blessing. Even troubles that come your way, adversities, friend, you find it was a blessing. I've often said, if there is no heaven, then it's still worth it worshiping Jesus today. You're better off walking side by side with Jesus down the road less traveled, even if there is no heaven. Sinners say to you, well, ha, 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 I'm having all these pleasures, all this sin. I can do whatever I want to. I don't feel guilty. And then you, Tex-Mars, you think you're going to end up in a place called heaven. You're going to be rewarded. I don't believe in a heaven or a hell, they say. Well, they'll find out. But in any case, even if there was no hell in heaven, I'm enjoying my walk with the Lord. I enjoy the road less traveled. Now, we're in a fork in the road in America. Many times we've been to this juncture. And again, we're going to have to choose. And there are going to be people, when you try to take the road less traveled, if you do, they're going to say, don't go that way. You don't want to go there. Go with us. Look where the crowd's going. See? Go with us. You'll be happier. This is the road everybody's taking. It's the road more traveled. Friends, don't go there. Don't go there. Make up your mind when you get to the fork in the road, and I believe you're already there, you better make the right choice. It may be the only choice you make, that you have an opportunity to make. In America, we're at that juncture, and we now have to make this choice, and it may be the only opportunity we have before we're swallowed up by the beast. Now, the Israelites, the ancient Israelites, decided to leave. A lot of them probably were very happy to be in Egypt. They were worshiping the Egyptian gods. Not all of them were slaves. They were slaves in the situation where the Egyptian people and the Pharaoh reigned over them. But some seemed to be quite prosperous. And even in worshiping the false gods, they probably really didn't want to go with Moses. But the Lord had said unto Moses, this is in Exodus 8 verse 20, the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Why did the Lord say to Moses, rise up and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go? Why? Was it just so that they could have the freedom to sin? They could have that saying in Egypt. He says that they may serve me. Folks, listen, there is coming a time in America when you will be punished for serving God. It's about at the door. People are talking now about an Iranian Christian pastor who converted from Islam, and now he's been taken before a court and sentenced to death. They've told him he has to renounce Jesus Christ and return to Islam or die. He said, well, I'm sure glad I live in America. I don't have to put up with that. Yeah, you just wait. Already now they say you can't pray in different places. You can't pray at athletic games and such. I just read that that I think they've changed it because they got criticized so much. But the Olive Garden, a national restaurant chain, refused to put up the U.S. flag because they said it may upset some people and offend them. I'm sure when you're sitting there and, you know, eating at Olive Garden and over in the corner they've got the American flag, it's going to offend you. Well, get out of the Olive Garden. Get out of America and go back where you come from if the American flag offends you. Well, let me tell you something, friends. The mention of Jesus offends a lot of people today. And teachers have been fired for mentioning Jesus to their students. Teachers have been fired for actually having a Bible on their desk, just sitting there. And they don't even read it to the kids, but during their own lunch hour and break, they get the Bible and read it. Oh, no. What a horrible thing. Why, a little child could see you reading that Bible. Think of how that could damage their personality forever. We're going to have to punish you for reading the Bible during your lunch hour. Oh, you were reading a sexy novel, a lesbian novel? That's okay. Oh, the kids saw it and they saw the dirty pictures? That's okay. Isn't that funny? Ha ha. And by the way, do not say Merry Christmas during that period. That's a travesty. You can't say Merry Christmas. Well, that would offend people. In fact, there's not much you can do as a Christian. I mean, governors, senators, congressmen, they've given public speeches and said the words you're never to say. For example, America is a Christian country. Ooh, Abraham Foxman of the ADL, be on you in a minute, man. You know, like a bird on a bug. You can't say America is a Christian country. And you say the name of Jesus at a prayer to open up Congress or a city council meeting? You can't do that. The Jewish ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, who knows which Jewish group is going to be on you for that? Now, we look around us. We see our government stealing from the people, giving even to foreign banks through the Fed, giving to foreign corporations. We say the founding fathers wouldn't do that. No, they didn't do that. They warned us about entangling alliances. They warned us about passionate attachment to foreign nations. They basically said, let America mind its own business and stay away from foreigners. But our Congress says, well, we should put Israel first, even over America. Whatever Israel wants, it gets. And if we have to go to World War III over Israel, we'll do it. Huh? Our founding fathers said we shouldn't go out looking for foreign monsters. We should stay at home. But America's now fighting 6 foreign wars right now. And we got troops in 130 nations. And it's costing us trillions of dollars to fight all these wars and maintain these gigantic armies and air forces and so forth around the world and ships traversing every sea, every ocean, even most internal waterways. Now, folks, the reason God took the Israelite people out of Egypt was because there's no doubt that they were probably being told, it must have been, that they could no longer worship the true God of heaven. They had to worship the Egyptian gods and goddesses and give allegiance to them. For God had told Moses that he should go before Pharaoh and say unto him, let my people go that they may serve me. That's your whole purpose in life, friends. You may think it's to have a good time, to get rich. There are all kinds of things people, if you ask them, what do you even put on this earth to do? Well, I don't know. I tell you, serve God. That's your only duty. Isn't that simple? What is that book that Warren wrote? The purpose-driven life. What is your purpose? I don't have to write a whole book on that. It's right here in Exodus 8:20. The reason the people of Israel left Egypt was because obviously they were not able to serve God the way God wanted them to. So he said, tell Pharaoh he's going to have to let my people go that they may serve me. Folks, we're not able to serve God anymore. The IRS says churches must be 501c3 approved. The IRS must approve your church. And there are things it can't do and say. Or they'll come and shut you down. Take your property away. You say they would never do that. Hey, talk to my good friend, the pastor up in Indianapolis. They took away his church, the parsonage, the Christian school, the whole shebang. The Federales sent troops in there, and they worked with the local sheriff and local police, and they took the whole church. Pastor was inside praying. They took him out too. Put him on a hospital gurney and wheeled him out because he refused to leave his church. You sure are a rebel. You want to keep your church. Now, how often have you heard somebody say, cry out, in fact, let's take America back? You ever been to these rallies, tea parties and all? It's good. The only problem is, what America? What America? What do you mean take back America? Oh, you want to return it back to the way it was before, to the days of Thomas Jefferson and all those. You can't do that. You know, have you ever, after many years, gone back to your old hometown? Now you're living in some other state and you go back. You think you're going to really enjoy it. It'll be just like it was before. It's not. You can't go back. I wish we could. I wish we could go back sometime. Of course, if you had a terrible upbringing, a terrible existence, you don't want to go back. That's okay, too. But America had it pretty good, I think. And a lot of people did believe in God. And churches grew and prospered. And the King James Bible conquered. And we were, it seemed, given very benevolent, wise leadership for many decades. But not now. It's pretty well all over with. That's why I don't take America back. What America? We're at that fork in the road that Robert Frost talked about. Now, if you take the road most traveled, that's the current America. Everybody seems to be happy with it. Well, they're not, if the money's not coming in. During the recession now, there's quite a few million unhappy with it. But give them some money in their pockets and they'll be happy again. They can buy their marijuana, their six pack. They can watch their football game. They can have their wife plus their mistress and everything's going to be okay. Isn't that true? You think I'm lying to you? Not only mistress, how about the gals now that have three men going at once and they're married? You want to see a slice of America? Look at its entertainment. How do they entertain themselves? Well, let's see now. The kids are all reading books like True Blood, vampire books. There's movies too with them. It's basically occult pornography. Vampires raping, ravishing, and killing young women. Then you can watch HBO, and as I understand it from my research here, what it is, research I guess you could call it, there's a new show you can see called Hung, H-U-N-G. You want to know what that is? It's not about a lynching, my friends. It's about a man who's, well endowed. The exploits of a male prostitute. My goodness. There's a movie this week, I understand, on HBO or Cinemax or one of them, they're all the same, called Walkout. It says that, you know, Mexican minorities in America who want to take back the American Southwest from Mexico are heroes. By the way, turn back to cable and you can watch Rosie O'Donnell's Family Cruise, which champions homosexual families. My goodness. My goodness. All this, you know, all this is Jewish Talmudic dysfunction. That's all it really is. I mean, our TV is about sluts and I don't know what else. Just slut junk, isn't it? You know it is. That's what we have on TV. And then what's going on? Did you know across America, black mobs meet and have flash mobs and go in and rob 7-Elevens, convenience stores, Walgreens stores, and so forth? They all get together, 20, 30, 50, 200 blacks, and they all mob inside the store, grabbing as much stuff they can, from potato chips to pharmaceuticals, just grabbing it all, putting it in baskets, and running out with it. And there's so many of them. The store personnel can't stop them, and the police don't show up for 5 minutes, and they're already gone. They rarely get them. Then, I'm reading a story here from the Philadelphia newspaper about a man who lived really in an urban area in the city. Name was Mark Lavelle. A black mob, attacked the man in his home. He's a law-abiding citizen there in Philadelphia. What happened was he was out in his yard doing something in his yard, you know, small postage stamp lot home there in Philadelphia. And suddenly dozens of black young people, teenagers and up, with bats and pipes and even guns and knives descended on, you know, the area of his home. And they were chasing two white teenagers. Seems that they got into an argument in a park, a neighborhood park, with these two white kids. So they decided to kill them. So a whole gang, you know, these two fearful white teens were running as fast as they could from a mob of, I don't know, maybe 13 or 14 blacks armed with knives and bats and baseball bats and pipes wanting to kill them. Well, the two teenagers run up to this man, you know, Mark Lavelle, in his front yard and said, "Help us, help us. They're going to kill us." Well, Mark Lavelle says, "Come on into my house and we'll lock the door." So he went into his house. Well, they beat the door in, the black thugs, and they, one of them hollered out, "We got you, you white mother." Well, you know the other word. Starts with an F and ends with an R. By the way, there were some Hispanic youths also mixed in with the blacks. Lavelle, 37 years of age, called to his wife Kim, told her to go up to their bedroom on the second floor with their twin 13-month-old boys and lock the door and call police. He ordered his other sons to stay upstairs too. And he told the two teens, "You can hide here." Meanwhile, the mob came in and began to beat him, saying, "Where are they at?" He was trying to calm them down, saying, "Okay, look, we'll call the police. If they're guilty of anything, we'll call the police on." "No, we don't want the police, you mother. We just want to kill them." They pounded on his front windows, kicked his door so hard it had gone open. They were filled with rage and hatred. In Wisconsin, fairgoers at the state fair drove up in the parking lot, and they were met by a black mob that pulled them out of the car and started beating on them, calling them horrible names. But you know what? The police said, "No, it's really not a hate crime. They're just having fun beating up people, trying to kill people." Folks, this is not the old America. You don't live in the old America, do you? No, you don't. Mission Viejo, California. An Orange County couple has been ordered by the city to stop holding a Bible study in their home. "It might offend people to know you're studying the Bible in your home," the city told them. "It violates a city ordinance. Why, you have become a church." You know, folks, the early church, in the book of Acts, it says they met in their homes. Well, here, several people meet together in their home and study the Bible together. There's not that many. It was said that maybe 8 to 9 people show up and are there for an hour or two meeting. But the city ordinance says no more than 3 people can meet at a time in a home. You can't meet and pray together. You can't meet and read the Bible together. It's against the city ordinance in Mission Viejo. And these homeowners, Chuck and Stephanie Fromm, were fined $300 for holding a religious meeting of more than 3 people and studying God's word. This isn't America, folks. Don't tell me this is America. It is the most traveled road. It's a popular road. But it's not America. It's the new America. But I'm not a citizen of the new America, friends. I'm a citizen of the old America. How about you? When I get back, we're going to return. We're still talking about, should we secede? How could we secede? How can we leave? After all, we're here. Stay with us. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, and I'm Tex Mars. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. I have the privilege of letting you know that I'm going to be in Washington, D.C., November 16th at a one-night conference. One-night conference. been invited to speak. Now, the sponsor is really the nation's number one independent newspaper, the American Free Press, or AFP, the American Free Press. It's a newspaper I've been getting, have had a subscription to for many years. Great folks there, and they and their sidekick organization, the Barnes Review Journal, an academic journal, but you don't have to be academic. You can just be old folks like me. The American Free Press, a lot of wonderful people there. They've invited me to come and be one of the two keynote speakers. I think there'll be some other speakers there, but I've been invited to be a keynote speaker. And another gentleman, noted historian David Irving, will also be speaking. Both of us will be speaking there that night. Now, I think they're going to feed you and do all kind of things. It'll be a wonderful. I wish I had more time to tell you about it, but believe me, it'll be a first-class production, a wonderful group of like-minded folks, and it'll be worth it to you. I think they're deciding on a price because it's going to be such a gala thing, a fun thing, and you and your wife or just you or whoever you are, you can bring your teenagers too if you want to, can come. And I don't know what subject I'm going to speak at. I'm going to have to ask the Lord. You know, sometimes I just want to go there and, man, really pound away. But I might end up doing that. You might have a surprise from Tex Mars that night. Now, David Irving, he's one of the world's greatest living historians. He's from England. He's author of books like Hitler's War, Churchill's War, The Secret Diary of Hitler's Doctor, The Final Battle, and other acclaimed books. Now, David Irving has made himself an enemy to some people. You know why? Well, he revealed who the true Hitler is and the real truth about World War II. And man, has he got people angry and upset at him. But he's also one of the most famous historians in the world. His books have been bestsellers on the British bestsellers list. And I've had a few bestsellers too, by the way. Well, maybe I'm not as distinguished as David Irving, but then I'm an American. Doesn't that count? We'll give the old Britishman a chance, though, won't we, to be there. But anyway, David Irving and Tex Mars, you can hear us both speak one night conference, November the 16th. Now, the cost of the evening is $160 a couple. But again, they're going to feed you. It's sort of like a banquet style. But I don't think you have to dress up or anything if you don't want to. I'm not going to wear a tie or anything, so you come the way you want to, okay? Expect a first-class production. You're going to love it. Now, how to find out more information? Again, November 16th. Put it on your calendar. I think it's during the week. I think it's like a Wednesday or something. So if you're a Saturday and Sunday football person, well, okay, you won't miss the game. Come on anyway, okay? Washington, D.C., you can take in the sights while you're there. I intend to visit the Masonic National Memorial. George Washington National Masonic Memorial, to do some more research. It's, sort of the devil's den, but while I'm there, I'm going to go visit that. Hope they don't find out I'm Tex Mars. I may lock me away up in the tower. throw away the key. Hey, we've got Tex Mars locked up. We don't have to hear from that freak anymore. That's what the International Freemasons would like to say. I'm going to visit their big building there. George Washington. Sad that his name has to be on it, but he didn't approve. George Washington National Masonic Monument. It's there in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. Hey, you may want to go there and visit with me. Who knows? And I'll be there. Wanda will be there. We'll have some of our books there. We'll be glad to autograph any book that you have or that you buy. You don't have to buy any books, though. Well, we do hope you'll come. I'd love to meet you in person. You know, I have fond memories of everywhere I've gone across the United States, shaking hands with folks. And it's just fun. Then later I come back to the ministry and I get your letters, your emails, and we receive your phone calls. I say, oh, yeah, I knew Jack. Yeah, I know Nancy. I met them in, Toledo or Los Angeles or somewhere. Oh, well, I hope you'll come. We'll have a great time. Now, there's a sweet lady named Julia who works at American Free Press. And if you'll call her at this number I'm going to give you, she'll give you the details how to register or something. I think you have to subscribe to their newspaper, too. I think you're going to have to subscribe to that. Anyway, it's worth every cent, believe me. But you'll enjoy this. Now, call Julia, J-U-L-I-A. Now, there's a great old American name, Julia. Her phone number is 202, area code 202, 202-544-5977. That's 202-544-5977. And say, Julia, I need some information about Tex Mars and David Irving. Tell her you heard it here on the radio. Tell her you heard it from Tex Mars personally, that they should call Julia and find out the details and how you can register for this. November the 16th. Now, there's only a limited number that can, you know, once the room fills up, the seats and everything. So make sure you can come. And the couples are $160. So if you're not a couple, well, I'm sure you won't have to pay that much. You'll get a big discount, maybe 50%. I hope so. All right. One night conference sponsored by the American Free Press and the Barnes Review. By the way, I had an article in the Barnes Review this last month. And maybe when you get there, they'll have that particular issue of the Barnes Review. I talked about the Holocaust of World War II. Quite an interesting article. But I'm not going to talk about that. I think I have something special in mind. But I'm going to ask God to make sure it's okay with him to talk about a subject that I've never talked about before. I've never talked about this before. And you'll be surprised. If God wills, I'll be talking about something that I've never talked about before, but it'll come in very handy during your daily lives, I promise you. Okay, that's the conference, November the 16th. And David Irving is coming all the way from England on an American tour here, and I think it's going to be exciting. By the way, for what he's written, they actually put him in prison one time. They put him in prison. They haven't done me that. Jerry, what am I doing wrong? I haven't been to prison or anything. I mean, they have audited 3 or 4 years of my taxes. They did that. They audited the ministry's taxes, found out we didn't owe anything. And, you know, they had to let us go. They didn't want to. They spent almost 4 years auditing the ministry here. They've done everything. FBI's come to visit us several times, just checking in, you know. I mean, that's all. And I remember that congressman called you that time. A congressman called Jerry, my assistant here, said that he's coming on, he's on the way here to the ministry offices, and that he's going to be my worst nightmare. Now, Jerry's a big sort of guy. I mean, you know, he's well built and everything. I told you this before, he's a high school football referee. Only the top high schools, you know, the class 5A, 4A, usually Jerry, he does a few sometime. And even works, you know, there during the games at the University of Texas, too, you know, doing various things. So he's a real pro at that. You don't want to mess with Jerry. He smiles a lot, but I mean, I wouldn't want to mess with him anyway. He's a nice guy, unless you're a troublemaker. He told the congressman, he said, well, Mr. Congressman, I'll be here. You're going to have to go through me to get to Tex. You know, he never showed up. Maybe he found out who Jerry was. Okay, well, anyway, if you come here, folks, looking for a fight, brewing for a fight, you're going to have to go through Jerry to get to me. I sort of like that, Jerry. I sort of like to go through Jerry to get to Tex. Yeah, I like that. Now, listen, folks, if you've ever met Jerry, he is more likely to grab your hand and shake it and hug your neck. I promise you. As long as you're not a troublemaker, he'll be your best friend. I promise you that. All right. Let's return to our regular program now. By the way, I want to encourage those of you who want to keep in touch every day with me to go to my Facebook page, Tex Mars, and you can access that through my webpage, powerofprophecy.com. You can even buy my new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Man, is that causing trouble. Did you know it's on the bestsellers list at Amazon.com for Judaism books? The Jews are reading my book. They want to know what I'm saying about them, I guess. It was on the top 10 list for Judaism books. Man, I love that. It was also on the bestsellers list for conspiracy theories and for controversial religious knowledge. I had no idea I was controversial. Did you, Jerry? It was a total shock to me to wake up in the morning, go look on, you know, online at Amazon.com, find out you're on the bestsellers list for controversial religious knowledge. I thought everybody agreed with me. Am I naive or what, Jerry? He's over here in the studio. He's handling all the equipment and everything. You know, I promise you I'd get out the Road Not Taken poem by Robert Frost. Robert Frost was invited, by the way, to expound his poetry at the John F. Kennedy inauguration. Here, let me read it to you. He says, two roads, and I'm going to read just part of it. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps a better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay. In leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. He took the road less traveled by, and that made all the difference. That is The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Now, folks, I believe, as I said before, we're at the crossroads. We're at the fork. America can go this way or that. I even believe it would be better to leave what I call the new America, the America that is, that surrounds us now. With perversions, with hatred of Christianity and Christ, with the names of God and Jesus, just convenient curse words for the Jews that run Hollywood. Even the politicians don't want to mention the name of Jesus. They don't pray in the name of Jesus anymore. The chaplain of the Senate dares not mention the name of Jesus when he prays before the full Senate. And the citizens of this new America get their kicks from blasphemous art on display in taxpayer-funded museums. For example, there was one, you know, called Piss Christ. They said it was art. The artist got a grant from the government for it. It supposedly was a picture of Jesus suspended in a jar of urine. Now, the new America, the one that I don't want to be a citizen of, and I know you don't care for, loves this perverted and vulgar art and theater and pays a good price sometimes to see plays like, yeah, the Vagina Monologues. Went out to dinner with a couple of friends that used to be my neighbors. And the wife said to Wanda and I, she said, well, my husband and I went to see a play, you know, theater production recently. And we said, oh, what was it? She said, the Vagina Monologues. And I said, oh, my goodness, what did you go to see that for? She said, well, we really didn't know how wicked it was going to be. Are you kidding me? Called the Vagina Monologues? It's by a bunch of lesbians? That's, they sit up there and talk about their male, their female organ, and you don't know? You went to something, you don't even know what it's going to be? No, you're lying. They were lying. I don't know why they were telling us that. Were they afraid maybe we heard about them going to the place? Or they were seen going in the door? And they were wondering what we thought about it. By the way, they're Baptist. What if they told a preacher about that? Then there's the other performance artist, she calls herself. Her name is Annie Sprinkle. And she's been paid for by the government. She's gotten government grants to do her performance art. Now, what is her performance art? Before a theater full of people that like to see this kind of stuff, she gets up and inserts a flashlight in her private area. And she is totally naked on the stage. I've never seen it myself. I've only read about it. Believe me, you wouldn't find me darkening the door of that place. The government paying a naked woman to shine a flashlight up her private parts. And people applaud. That's the new America. That's the new America. Loaded with newfangled inventions. Oh, we've got a lot of advancement and progress that's been made in America. You know, like murdering little innocent babies through abortion. Then there's all this entertainment we should be so proud of. The fiendish slasher movies. The satanic music. The multiculturalism. The relativism. Folks, the heroes of America are psychopaths, crooks, and con artists, and they go all the way to the White House. This is a new America were dead white men, you know, like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Audie Murphy, John Wayne. Well, they're hated and reviled. They're hated. Who cares nowadays about dead white men or women? But the birthday of Martin Luther King, a communist, a woman abuser, a homosexual, is honored with a national birthday. This is a country that once affirmed its belief that every man is born equal. Now, I know we didn't live up to those principles all the time. In fact, we started out in the Constitution with a black man being, what, one-fifth of a person? That was wrong, dead wrong. I've never agreed with it. It's not part of my repertoire of or arsenal of belief. But today, it's the white person that's discriminated against. And racial quotas and affirmative action are embraced. If you're a homosexual, you're going to get a better job. You're going to get promotions. My President Obama just put out a new release from the government announcing that the government would be investigating companies and organizations across America that are not fair to transgender, lesbians, and homosexuals. What does being fair mean? It means giving them preference. You're right. This new America does not look at the color of your skin. Doesn't just look at it. It exalts it. If you're black or brown, you're going to get ahead. If you have any gumption at all. If you're white, well, go to the back of the bus. You say, well, Tex, black people had to suffer all those years. That's right. That's right. Because they suffered. Let's make the white people suffer now. Is that what you think? Is that the kind of Christian you are? Folks, this is a country that loves to kill foreign people in foreign wars. As long as they don't have the ability to come here and kill us, that's okay, isn't it? The elderly are seen as worthless eaters. And believe me, Obamacare does have death panels. And those of you who are too old, why should they give you medical care? Like the movie Soylent Green. Just go off to a death center and lay down and we'll put the stuff in your veins. Help you die. Euthanasia. Believe me, it won't be but a decade after Obamacare, they'll be approving monies, federal monies for euthanasia centers across America. Friends, this is a country where shacking up is the norm. Did you know a majority of babies are now born out of wedlock? A majority. In the black community, over 90% of all children born are born to unwed mothers. And some of these blacks and other Hispanics and whites too now, they've all joined in the party of sin and degradation. They have baby after baby after baby because the more babies you have, the more welfare, the more food stamp money you get, etc. They never have to work. They have babies and they're going to get government money. Meanwhile, Bible-believing Christians are mocked and despised for their virtue. Our politicians take bribes. They worship at the altars of Zionism. New York Magazine had Obama on the cover wearing a yarmulke this month, and the headline was, "Oh, Barack Obama is our first Jewish president." That's how much he supports Israel. Why, he supported Israel against the whole world, and Israel and the United States would not let Palestine, the Palestinians, even join the United Nations. The United Nations is supposed to be a place of peace where you can go and prevent wars and all that stuff. They don't even want Palestinians to come around and talk. Keep out of sight. Shut up. Get out of here. We don't even want you in the United Nations. Now, the rest of the world was all for the Palestinians joining. Don't they deserve a right to join the United Nations like 175 other nations around the globe? No. The little island nation of Fiji with 3,000 citizens or whatever it is, I haven't even looked it up in the almanac. They're a member of the United Nations, but not the Palestinians. That allows Israel to do whatever it wants to maraud, to oppress, to murder Palestinians. After all, they're not even a nation. They're not recognized by the UN. And why are they not recognized? Because the United States threatened to veto it. We won't even recognize the humanity of the Palestinians. Meanwhile, we blow up all these false flag things. We lie about the 3,000 dying at 9/11. A fertilizer bomb didn't blow up the federal building in Oklahoma City. You know that. But federal monsters of the ATF and the FBI did burn down the Waco compound and kill all those people. After all, they were after David Koresh. That's why they had to kill all the kids. Yeah. This is a new America that has put crooked, greedy Wall Street bankers in the driver's seat. It has crashed our economy on purpose, I believe, meanwhile providing generous bonuses from the people's treasury to international criminal financiers and corporate executives. Friends, our government is giving tens of billions, no, trillions of dollars to foreign banks and corporations. Meanwhile, our veterans' hospitals grow antiquated, unsafe, dangerously lethal to patients. We don't even treat our veterans right. They have limbs cut off, and they have to go to veterans' hospital with mildew and rust and filth. And they're closing down even those hospitals. Meanwhile, they're threatening to take away money from Social Security recipients. They haven't even had a cost of living increase in 3 years. They put all the money in, but the government went out and spent it. They're supposed to put it in a trust fund. Those funds, the billions, billions, billions since the 30s that the American people have put in through their working wages, they've taken the money from us. They've extracted it by force. They'd put us in prison. They'd put employers in prison if they didn't pay it out of your salary. And by the way, it's now over 15%, half by the employee and the other half by the employer. What do they do with this 15%? They spend it on wars and trash and welfare and junk and limousines for the bureaucrats to ride around in, and jet rides, first class, around the world for the congressmen to go on their junkets. Meanwhile, they're telling people they're almost at the dead end. They have to eat dog food just to stay alive, old people. Some getting $500, $700, $800, $900. How can you live on that a month? And they're saying you're overpaid. You get $700 a month in Social Security. We're going to cut you. But, sir, I'm entitled to that. I paid into it. Well, we'd rather take the money and give to welfare recipients who have never paid in. That's right. That's right. I know one young girl, 20 years old, that's going to get, very soon, she went down to apply. They're going to give her over $2,000 a month because she's pregnant. She doesn't work. She doesn't work. White girl. She's having a baby by a black guy. He's about 24 years old. He's never worked a job in his life. He doesn't even have a Social Security card. He gave her a baby. Or together they produced one. Now the government will pay her up to $2,000 a month. Hey, why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't you have babies out of wedlock? Contracts to companies like Halliburton, Schlumberger, and all the others. Crooks. Spending the old people's money, the Social Security, and telling them, sorry, we have to pay for the 6 wars we're fighting. The troops in 130 nations spread throughout the world. We have to pay for 46 million. That's right. The newest statistics came out, 46 million receiving food stamps. And that's why we can't give you your Social Security so much anymore. We got to cut it. And don't beg for it. Don't get on your knees and beg for it, old person. Just die. We'll take care of you when the death panel is set up. Meanwhile, we're not going to give you your Social Security. Folks, these are evil men in Congress with names like Boehner, McConnell, Reid. Wait. Isn't that Republicans and Democrats? You better believe it. You better believe it. There is no political party that is anything but corrupt. Meanwhile, the Big Brother police state, the apparatus is being built. The new America humiliates young women, old women, children, and all good and decent people by groping and feeling up their bodies at airports and at other places. Even their crouches and their body recesses. They strip you and feel you up. Well, they've got to discover the potential terrorist, don't they? They've got to make everything safer for you. Homeland Security, they say. But in reality, it's actually the government itself that is the instigator and the purveyor of terrorism. They are the terrorist. The new America is the beast. It is a beast, a great, horrible beast. Now let's look at this secession thing. How can we secede? How can we get away? Well, I think it's perfectly acceptable for us just to plain leave, go somewhere and set up a new government. Maybe take over one state, like Texas or Montana or South and North Dakota or Louisiana. I don't know where. Maybe we should all just move there and then vote out all the corrupt politicians and make it into a godly place for us. Reinstitute the Constitution in the United States and pay attention to it. We won't have the crooked judges and all of them. Have our own country. Is that possible? I don't know. I'd like you to think about it. If it were possible to start another country, I'd like to create it. I'd like to be there. I'd like to help out, get it started. Is it legal to do it? I think it is. You know, the United States joined voluntarily. If you join something voluntarily, you can leave voluntarily.
Well, they didn't let them in the Civil War, the war between the states, 1860 to 1865.
I know they didn't. That's why I think Abraham Lincoln was a tyrant. And guess what? Country after country had ditched slavery, and I think the South was on the way to ditching slavery. If the war between the states had never been fought, and there were two countries here, the Confederacy and the United States, I don't think the Confederacy would have slavery, because slavery was wrong. It was a vice. Did you know Robert E. Lee, the general of the Confederacy, actually, before the war began, freed all his slaves? Isn't that amazing? He freed his slaves before the war began. It wasn't fought over slavery anyway. That's another story, isn't it? Maybe we need to secede to leave the United States. Maybe we can go back to the old America. We can't change the new America. We can't overthrow it. They've got everything. They've got the media. They've got the Congress. They've got the banks. They have the big corporations. But we've got God, we've got truth, we've got patriotism. Maybe we can return to old America by starting it. But if not, listen to me, dear friends. The Bible says that we, as lovers of Jesus Christ, that we're in the world, but not of the world. Maybe that's the answer. We're in America, but we don't have to be of America. We can have our own nation in our very heart. Do you know that? We can meet, we can talk, we can share, we can love each other. We can be the old America. We can be the Christian America. We can be the patriotic America and stay right where we are. But we must not give in. We must not take the mark of the beast. We must not continue down that broad way to destruction, that beautiful, shiny highway that looks so good. So you take that fork. When you get to the fork, you take that road, but it's the wrong road. It's paved all right. They say that hell has been paved with good intentions. We don't want to go there. Let's take the road not taken by most, the road less traveled. Maybe we can secede from the new America right here where we're at. How do you do that? I think you're going to need the Bible. You're going to need prayer. You're going to need hope. Maybe that's the change. Obama said he'd give us change and hope. Maybe we don't need Obama's change and hope. It wasn't there anyway. I don't want to take America back, not the new America. I want a better America. How about you, friends? I'd like to hear from you about this. Would you like to secede? How would we do it? Do we stay in place? Do we go somewhere? Write me. Let me know how you feel about this. This is Tex Mars. Been a pleasure having you today. I'm totally out of time. Remember, the road not taken. That's the road we need to be on. Less people travel it, but it's a better road. I pray, my friends, you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.